And, you know, when you think about Lane's End, you think about them as a top breeder, and as a matter of fact, as a 13-time leading stud farm. Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, for example, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by a weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, well, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, you can visit lanesend.com, or you can just listen to Bill Farish as he joins us now here on the Equine Forum. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, boy, some impressive statistics there that we were able to run through.
Well, I'm glad you touched on all of it.
I saved you the trouble. That's going through
right.
Them. Well, welcome to the show. And, yeah, you think about the success that you've had. I mean, a 13-time leading stud farm. And then you think about the young stallions that are coming up, like The Factor and Union Rags, and the success that they're having already. You have to be just thrilled, and you have to be extremely proud.
Well, we are. It's a big team effort, but it's really gratifying to see the Union Rags and The Factors come out and sell the way they did. Anymore that there's so many yearlings by a given sire in the sales that it used to be that you could manufacture those numbers, but now that there's too many of them, and you can't really they sell how they sell, and it's great to see them both be so popular.
You guys do such a great job, and you have an excellent team. I mean, when you go to your consignments and you see how everything's run, it's a very nice place to be, a easy way to look at horses. And talk about your crew and how important that is to a stud farm.
Well, it's absolutely vital. And Mike Klein, our farm manager, has been with us since 79. Our crew in general is Todd Claunch and Billy Sellers. Billy Sellers, our stallion manager, has been with us since we first started Standing Stallions in 84. And, it's just, you can't say enough about how important those guys are on a daily basis. And I'm leaving so many of them out, but they really make the place go.
Sound the alarm. Bill Farish with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing. Do you always get this kind of reception?
I'm wondering where it's coming from.
Well, there is
a loose horse on the track here
at training at Keeneland, and that is the warning signal, just to let everybody know that there is a loose horse, and the outriders will no doubt apprehend him relatively quickly, as they typically do here, not only in the mornings but in the afternoons as well.
We got to hope it's real quick.
Yeah. Well, we did this last year. We sat here, and this warning siren went on for about 15 minutes during the program. So it was a little bit of ambiance, I guess. It makes you feel like you're here at the track, right?
When you for sure. Don't need any reminding if you're sitting where you guys get to sit here. This is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. What's the key, Bill, with young stallions like Union Rags and The Factor, when you're just getting them started, you're getting their babies to the sales ring now, what's the key to making them successful right off the bat?
Well, the stallion market's very, very competitive. There's a lot of farms, trying to make stallions, and getting the right horse is more important than anything, than pricing and having the client base that has the confidence in you that you're going to put good stallions in front of them. And so there are a lot of gimmicks out there to try to get people to breed to stallions, but to get the good mares and the good breeders that raise the offspring the right way, you've got to have the right horses, and you got to price them fairly.
Do you find that success breeds success? And what I mean by that is you've had so much success in the breeding side of things that people just tend to gravitate toward Lane's End now because of the past success that you've had?
Well, I think that does happen. Watching Lane's End grow on, when AP Indy was doing his thing, and King Mambo and Smart Strike all kind of simultaneously, it really it puts the farm in a place that is very unique, and we're seeing that with Gainsway and Tappet right now. It's amazing how a great stallion like that can really raise the whole farm, and so it's very important. But you know, stallion business is like any other business. You're only as good as your last successful stallion. So the APNDs unfortunately eventually retire, and you've got to replace them.
Well, you guys have done an excellent job of picking out horses, and talk about that process. How do you scout these horses, and what's involved in acquiring them for your farm?
Well, we've got a great team. We're constantly monitoring what's out there. I think Dad has had an amazing ability to pick the right horse, and a lot of times it comes down to something as simple as looking at him and saying, "Would you breed to that horse?" And when the answer is no, it's pretty easy to know that they're on the wrong track. But he's got a very, very good feel for things, and always has, and it's crucial because you invest a lot in every stallion. You know, you breed a lot of your mares to him, and it's important that you've got a good chance to make that stallion.
Visiting with Lane's End's Bill Farish here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bill also serves as chairman of the board for Breeders' Cup. And, Bill, you and I were talking a few moments ago before you came on, and you threw some very impressive numbers at me with this year's Breeders' Cup in terms of ticket sales and the number of people that will be converging here on the Bluegrass. And one aspect of it that I think gets overlooked is the fact that when you come to Central Kentucky, it has so much to offer for a horse racing fan, and so much of that has to do with the stud farms.
I think no question. I mean, it's very unique in that sense that we're completely surrounded by thousands of horse farms, and Keeneland itself is such a unique venue. It really has an Augusta-type feel to it. A lot of people criticize the idea of coming here at smaller venue and everything else, but as I was telling you, the ticket sales this year have more than doubled over Santa Anita in terms of revenue, and just the outpouring of interest from people around the country to come here for this Breeders' Cup is very exciting.
Yeah, it has been remarkable, and of course so much to offer, not just the stud farms where people can go and tour all the different horse farms, but they can take a bourbon tour while they're here, right? They can go down and see Rupp Arena, maybe take in a UK football game the night after the Breeders' Cup. So a lot of things to offer and a lot of things for fans to do even outside of the racing.
That's right. We've got the National Horse Show here that weekend, which is
right.
The old Madison Square Garden National Horse Show, which is one of the biggest shows of the year. And to think that that's happening simultaneously at the horse park, it's hard to believe.
We threw a poll question out there at the beginning of the show, and the poll question, by the way, you can tweet to us at HRN if you want to weigh in. The one horse that you feel cannot lose the respective Breeders' Cup race, and as we went to the commercial break, you said, "That's easy. It's Honor Code." Right? Well, how is the big horse doing?
He's doing great. You know, we mapped out a plan that was a little different going to the Kelso on the way to the Breeders' Cup. Shug really wanted something a little easier on him than going back-to-back mile and a quarters, which he's never run a mile and a quarter. So it made a lot of sense. We got a short field, which we thought we might with him being in there. And then we got a sloppy track, which, you know, makes it a little more speed favoring, a little tougher for a horse like him to come from behind. So we got out of it what we hoped, and you know, we couldn't feel better about where he is right now. We think he is an incredibly unique horse, but it's one of the great classic fields I think we've seen in a long time, and it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, you've got Beholder coming off, you know, two really good races, great races. If you want to look at the Pacific Classic, you got a Triple Crown winner in there. You've got your horse who's been so impressive, and it was funny to read what people were saying about his prep race, and you know, oh, he didn't run well or whatever. I thought he ran very well, and I thought it was a prep race. It wasn't really designed for him to go out there and run a one turn mile. It was designed to keep him fit and focused, and I think that really worked. So I think he's got a big shot in the Classic, and he's been amazing this year. He's
his
really
race
in well.
The Whitney, we were there at Saratoga, we broadcast that race. It was coming to the final furlong, I don't know if I would have bet him at that point, Bill. And
no.
he gave you that acceleration.
I don't think I would have bet him at the eighth pole.
Yeah. Amazing, right?
Liam's Map ran a monster race, and really just he ran a winning race. I thought it was Liam's Map's performance on that day was one of the best races of the year, I thought. But he he got caught at the wire, and you know, maybe that's just right at the edge of his distance limitations. And you know, I think it's interesting that they're going to run in the mile, because it changes the speed scenario in the classic significantly.
How good is that classic going to be? You have Champion Beholder, yeah. You have American Pharoah, the Triple Crown winner, first Triple Crown winner in the history of the Breeders' Cup, and then you have Honor Code, Tonalist.
Yeah, we can't forget Tonalist. He ran a huge race in the Gold Cup, and he loves the distance, and you know, if he runs back to that race and the right scenario plays out, he could be your winner. And I know that camp wouldn't trade positions with anybody, which is amazing.
Well, Bill, hats off to you and to your team, both at Lane's End and Breeders' Cup. Continued success. Good luck with Honor Code, and thank you for all your support of what we're doing here on the network. Can't do it without you, and really do appreciate it.
Well, not at all. Thanks very much for having me today, and pray for good weather.